This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And welcome back into Gwen and Chris. We head into hour number two of our Tuesday program. Chris Ello in the Odyssey Palace Studios, where Adam Klug is sitting in today as well. Matt Scraby, home recuperating, but with us today after his shoulder surgery yesterday. He is indeed a gamer. And, of course, Tony Gwynn Jr. out of Petco Park, where tonight the Padres will take on the Oakland Athletics. Game two of a three-game series. Already we're off to a better start than we were against the Rockies and the Angels. Previous to that, both those series, Padres did not win any games. We got at least one against the A's. Now let's go for two. Try to get over the 500 mark once again tonight with Randy Vasquez on the mound against the A's. And left-hander for Oakland, J.P. Sears. We'll see how the Padres fare against a left-handed starter. That is something they have not fared well against all season long. You are certainly aware of that if you've been listening to this program. We are going to get into the Daily Gambit in just a little bit. But before we do, I thought we'd do a little potpourri here, gentlemen. We've got a few little topics to throw around, the first of which I don't know that everybody's aware of, unless you read Adam Klug's blog on our website at 973thefansd.com. And if you haven't read Adam Klug's blog, I direct you to the webpage immediately. But what it says there is what I'm now going to tell you, and that is that the Holiday Bowl is changing locations. It is moving from Petco Park, where it was played last year and the year before that, and it is moving to Snapdragon Stadium back in Mission Valley. So, I mean, Adam, I could ask you because you're kind of part of the Holiday Bowl staff.
Red coat. He's a red coat.
As a red coat. He's not a turncoat. He's just a red coat.
Sometimes he's a turncoat.
Yeah.
I'm just messing with
but,
you.
Adam is like, bleeds 97%.
Come on now. Don't be taking shots at Adam Klug. But Adam, this is news. I know my wife is a red coat as well. She's very excited by this. I think it's a good move. I love the game at the Holiday Bowl or at the Petco Park, the Holiday Bowl at Petco Park. But I think, you know, Snapdragon's going to work just fine. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a field, obviously, that's more suited for football rather than a baseball stadium that's being repurposed with different grass and everything. And just to point out and take a little dig at the Bruins and Dave Marcus, who might be sitting behind Tony over there. We said it's been at Petco the last 3 years, but only two of those years had games.
Yes.
Yeah, because the Bruins decided to go home with their football blame it on COVID.
Yeah, they did.
Like 5 hours before kickoff.
Yeah, we'll never forget it.
But we're not bitter.
We will never forget it. We'll always be bitter at Dave Marcus's Bruins. I think it's good, too. I mean, you know, look, the whole bowl thing is a different animal now. And I think having it in a nice, cozy environment like Snapdragon, you know, 35,000 fans, everyone who's there is going to get a really good seat. Everyone's going to be right on top of the action. And, you know, you've got to adjust with the changing landscape of the bowls. You know, with the playoff now, you know, the bowls are going to be fighting for attention. And I think that, you know, I think this is a smart move by the San Diego Sports Committee and the people bringing the who kind of run the Holiday Bowl, run the Rady's Holiday Basketball Tournament, Mark Neville and his crew. But I think this will work out well. And so you college football fans, keep that in mind as the season goes along, that this year, Snapdragon Stadium for the Holiday Bowl.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, it's back in a football stadium. I mean, it was pretty cool to see it here last year or the last one we just had. So I guess that would be last year.
Yeah, SC Louisville.
Yeah.
The SC and Louisville plus Oregon, North Carolina will be the answers to the trivia questions.
Who played
the Holiday Bowl when it was played at Petco Park?
Right. If you say UCLA, you would be wrong
because they actually did
not show up.
That's right.
To play.
Yeah, that's right. Dave Marcus
is not even in here, so it's not having the same effect.
Yes, but
that
he's probably
really
listening
to.
Somewhere.
But
I hope he's hearing this.
I hope so. I think there were, I don't know, I want to say difficulties. I mean, as Adam said, the stadium wasn't made for football. So, you know, you got the kind of seats that kind of overhang over other seats. It kind of takes some of the viewpoints out. And, you know, I just think it's probably better suited for Snapdragon when it's all said and done.
The angles at Petco Park were a little tricky for a football game.
For sure.
They really were. I mean, if you had the perfect seat right at the 50-yard line, fine. But not everybody had that same seat. But it was a great experience to go to it.
It was.
And now I'm ready to have it go over to Snapdragon Stadium, which it will starting next year. All right, that's potpourri item number one. Potpourri item number two, Joey Chestnut. Yes, everybody knows that name. He is the most famous, world-famous eating champion.
He eats the most wieners in the world, Chris.
All right, thank you, Scravy.
Pause.
Pause.
Is there anywhere
he
to
does.
Get? Is there anyhow we can get that anesthesiologist back when we need him? Joey Chestnut has won the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest 16 of the last 17 years, but he will not be winning it this year. That is because Joey Chestnut has been banned from the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest over an apparent partnership that he has agreed to with a plant-based brand. So the Major League Eating people have said that Chestnut's new partnership with a rival vegan food company is going to... I mean, this is so crazy, isn't it?
It's
right?
So ridiculous.
The Major League
so
Eating
ridiculous.
People, I mean, when, you know, come on. But they don't want Joey in the Nathan's contest anymore because he's hooked up with this other company. So
it's a vegan company. It's a vegan company that doesn't want him to be eating real wieners, is what it sounds like.
That's right.
Can I tell you,
do we have to keep calling them wieners as an imperative?
I'm just saying.
But that's what I think that's what they call them, right?
Yeah, whatever. Go ahead.
Okay.
It's called the Nathan's Hot Dog Contest Competition.
That's exactly
true.
What it's
that
called.
That is true. But when I went, when was the last time I went to a game? It was last week. I went up and I said, two wieners, please. And they said, here you go. And they gave me two hot dogs. It's not a big deal.
I'm not a big fan of hot dogs unless they're coming off a grill. You know, they got to have some grill marks on there.
Yes.
You know, that's really how I enjoy a good hot dog. But I'm not going to lie. I'm happy for my man Joey. He has
some bank out of this.
Yeah, he's getting some bank. He's been unhealthy for a very long time eating all these hot dogs that he eats.
That's right.
And so now he's trying to clean it up a little bit. I can't be mad at that.
So he took the money. Is this like, is he an outcast now among the competitive eaters? Is this like PGA versus Liv?
I've seen a couple documentaries on these eaters. And I tell you, it's not the greatest life on the planet with the, you know, your digestive system. Because we all know as we're watching them put these hot dogs in water and scarf them down, that this can't, we all think to ourselves, this can't be healthy. Like this has to be along the lines. Oh, and you know what? This brings me to something that just popped in my mind. I don't know if you guys remember the documentary Supersize.
Supersize.
The gentleman that did that, Morgan Spurlock, passed away.
He did.
And the only thing I can think of when it happened, and I don't know what the circumstances was behind his passing, but first thing I thought of was that McDonald's couldn't have helped in that situation that he was putting his body through. Because remember, he went through a big transformation. And I think about that often when I'm watching these hot dog eating contests. Like, that was spread out over, a period of time he was eating it. These people are crushing hot dogs at an absurd pace in real time, like on the same day.
Tony, he's eating like 80 hot dogs in 10 minutes. That's more hot dogs than we probably all eat.
I think I can eat a lot. I certainly cannot eat that fast.
Yes. By the way, Morgan Spurlock died from complications of cancer at the age of 53. Super young.
Yeah.
That sucks. I did see that, and I didn't go further to see how he passed, but that I mean, he was young too. Still,
53,
man.
Yeah. And that supersized me that you're talking about, Tony, got nominated for an Academy Award.
Yeah,
it was quite a good documentary that he did.
You know, that was I know this is off. We're getting off the subject, but that was like the first like Blackfish. When you think about it. Like McDonald's had to like change up a lot of their stuff after that documentary came out.
Good point. Yeah. Yeah. They were really called out on the carpet.
Before you get off this topic, because I said something in the last break, and Tony disagreed with me, and I think it's relevant here. I said, I mean, obviously Joey Chestnut is the GOAT here when it comes to competitive eating, and I said whoever wins this 4th of July's hot dog eating contest, that gets an asterisk by it, because they won it when Joey Chestnut wasn't competing because he was banned. He didn't retire. He didn't choose to retire. He's being banned.
Doesn't matter. He's not in it no more. He's not in the competition. That's like saying Luis Arraez can't be a batting champion because he didn't beat Tony Gwynn.
But Tony Gwynn retired.
Whether he retired or not, he's not in the game. He's not in the show.
But if your father had endorsed a certain type of baseball bat that Major League Baseball didn't like, and they're like, you can no longer play in baseball because you endorsed this bat.
Why you aren't playing is irrelevant. You are not in the competition. So therefore, hey, hang with him.
Can I just say that I think this is the dumbest thing Nathan's has ever done? Like, Joey Chestnut is the only thing we know about this hot dog eating contest, and he's the only reason we tune in. Here's Major League Eating in their statement. Now, it's very long, so I'm going to read just the best part.
Just read the last part of it, because I think that's important.
Well, I want to read the first sentence, which is, we are devastated to learn that Joey Chestnut has chosen to represent a rival brand that sells plant-based hot dogs rather than competing in the hot dog eating contest. All right, last thing. Joey Chestnut is an American hero. We would love nothing more than to have him at the Nathan's Famous International Hot Dog Eating Contest, which he dominated for years. We hope he returns.
I think you can just stop it. Joey Chestnut is an American hero. Right up.
I stand with Joey. You know what? I should stand up for this right now because Joey Chestnut is an American hero, and this is ridiculous.
Move aside, Benjamin Franklin. Joey Chestnut.
George Washington, get out of here. Junior says, bring him on the show. Silly. I've actually tried to get Joey Chestnut many times, and he doesn't do interviews unless you pay him. So,
oh, man. He wants he got some bread now.
I just got a tweet,
no pun intended.
Tweet coming in from the people at in South Dakota there at the... what do they call? Oh, my God, I hate when my mind just goes blank. It's going to blow this whole...
I would love to help you here.
I'll tell you one thing, it's going to blow the joke, so forget it.
The hot dog plant or something?
No.
God. Someone's making a great point. Plant-based and meat-based aren't competitors. Because,
yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, how is that a competitor? I guess because you're not eating their stuff, so...
Joey Chestnut on the $1 bill. Yeah, the plant-based, I actually have eaten those hot dogs before. Not bad. Not bad at all.
Stop it.
Seriously.
It's not the same.
I guarantee you Chris has never had an Impossible hot dog.
Are you kidding
me?
Do you know,
burger.
My wife is vegetarian. Of course I've had to have one of those before.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
probably true. Chris has probably had more of it than any of us, quite frankly.
All right, the final item on our potpourri list is not really all that good compared to the other two, so I think we should go to break.
You want to just mention it real quick, or what?
John Rahm is not going to play in the U.S. Open.
Oh, his little pinky toe.
Who cares, number one?
He's a live golfer now, anyway.
That's right, Scrib. You should be happy about this.
Yeah, I don't care about
him. He's got an infection in his left foot. There you have it.
Boom.
All right.
How do you get that?
Why can I not think of the name of the historic carving of presidents in the Black Hills of South Dakota?
Mount Rushmore.
Thank you. Oh, my God. It was like a wall in front of my mind, and I could not think of what that was. I mean, jeez.
Scott got it on the thing.
My goodness. I mean, don't ever grow old, everybody out there. I'm telling you, these things happen. Yeah, I'm not going to use the joke line that they were going to replace one of the presidents with Joey Chestnut on Mount Rushmore, because it's not going to quite have the same impact at this point.
You want to name who else would be on that Mount Rushmore? You got any others? I got Kobayashi.
Kobayashi was the original, wasn't he?
Yeah, until Joey Chestnut started wiping the floor with him.
I watched an MTV documentary on Kobayashi. To train, he used to eat big balls of rice so that it would expand his stomach.
Thank you for saying of rice.
God.
Yes, of rice.
The other guy that'd be on there was the guy from Man vs. Food, man. That guy ate a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Adam Richman, yeah.
Man, that guy. He did a lot for us.
He was getting some good food, too.
Like, but he had to retire because he was so unhealthy. He couldn't do it anymore. All right, everybody, grab a bite to eat.
We're so jacked up in our society. We're just crushing food. Got to retire from eating food because it's just too much.
Eating food is a sport, so it does qualify on a sports talk show. There's more Gwen and Chris ahead after traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, Chrisello. Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park, much more a Tony as the program goes along. But he stepped away to do a little work right now for the broadcast tonight. Matt Scraby is home, but with us, recuperating from his shoulder surgery yesterday, doing quite well. We got to get to a Daily Gambit, so let's go see what we got in store for you there.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, as Scraby likes to say, The Daily Gambit is our sports betting segment. As he also likes to say, please gamble responsibly. As I like to say, gamble responsibly. I'm not going to ask you nicely. Just do it. Yesterday, at 5 picks, Scraby missed on the two hockey picks. Florida was 1.5 goal favorite over Edmonton in game 2 of the Stanley Cup Finals. I took Edmonton. Florida scored the final 4 goals, pulled away for a 4-1 victory, which also left them under the total of 5.5 goals. So I lost that one as well. Panthers 2-0 in the Stanley Cup Finals have only given up 1 goal so far. They, like the Boston Celtics, are halfway home to the title. NCAA college baseball, super regionals. Adam Klug begged me to pick against his Georgia Bulldogs, so I did. Went with North Carolina State. Shouldn't have begged me, Adam. North Carolina State won the game 8-5 to send the Dogs home. North Carolina State moves on to the World Series. There are 8 teams in the College World Series, 4 from the ACC and 4 from the SEC. Padres and A's over-under last night was 7 runs. No matter if you bet over or under, that was a push. Game ended up 6-1, Padres. And Dylan Cease over-under 8.5 strikeouts. I thought the way he was going, he'd get way more than 8.5, but he had to settle for 8, just under, which is what I selected. So a 2-2 day with 1 push. You ready for today's picks, Mr. Scraby? Are you still there, Mr. Scraby?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Now I can. Okay. You normally chime in, but it's all right.
I was letting you go.
Thank you
very
much.
I actually asked you, what did you bet, the over or the under on the total score between the Padres and A's?
Oh, I bet over.
Ah,
so
okay. Well, it doesn't matter anyway, but you had more faith in them scoring runs.
I thought there'd be a couple more runs. I felt Cease would shut them down, but the Padres are starting to hit right now.
Yes.
Although I'm worried about tonight. Against
all
a
right.
lefty. Well,
let's go.
Until further notice. All right, here we go with tonight's picks in the WNBA. The Atlanta Dream, 7-point. This is your club, Adam Klug, the Atlanta Dream. 7-point favorite.
Dreamer.
Yes, he is. 7-point favorite over Washington's Mystics.
Mm.
The Mystics have opened the season 0-12. Obviously, they're winless. They are getting 7 points. Is that enough to entice you to pick the Mystics tonight, Scraby?
I was watching this game between the Fever and the Mystics. Both teams are horrible, but the Mystics look extra bad, so I'm going to go Dream.
You're going to go Dreaming.
Yep, I'm a dreamer.
I just think the home court and advantage there down in Atlanta where Adam Klug is from. There's a rabid fans down there.
There are.
I'll take the Dream minus 7. We got the Seattle Storm, a big 11.5-point pick over the L.A. Sparks. Sparks just beat Las Vegas the other night, which was a bit of an upset. So I say they are fired up, and the Sparks keep it close. I'll take L.A. here. It's great.
Hmm. Yeah, 11.5 is a lot.
That is a lot.
I'm going to go with the Sparks as well.
You're going with the Sparks also. Mm-hmm. Okay, Las Vegas tonight. We're staying in the WNBA. The Las Vegas Aces, right? They are the defending, two-time defending champions. Tonight they are home to the Minnesota Lynx. Asia Wilson, former MVP in the WNBA. Her over-under is 27.5 points. Scraby, what say you about that?
I mean, over-under 27.5 points. She's very good. I don't know if she's that good. I honestly don't even know what she's averaging. Let me go look this real quick.
You're going to look at that. You think it's worth it?
I'm going to go look and see what she's averaging.
It's worth your time to look it up.
Who are they playing again?
Average. Does that matter to you? They're playing Minnesota, the Lynx.
Let's see.
I'm going to do a little research on this one.
Oh, wow. Okay. She's averaging 28 points this year. I'm going to go over.
Over? So
yeah.
Since she's averaging over 27.5, she'll get over.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say that's too many. I'll go under.
All right.
Padres and A's. Last night it was 7 runs. Tonight the over-under is for 8 runs.
Okay.
Randy Vasquez on the mound. Not Dylan Cease. Figure Oakland will score at least a couple. Vasquez pitched awfully well, though, last time out.
He did.
Until further notice, I have to go under. And my until further notice is that the Padres don't score against left-handed starters. They've got to prove me wrong. Until then, I'll stay under 8 runs for this game. Scraby.
I'm going to say over.
Really?
I think Randy Vasquez has, like, he's good for, like, 2 or 3 early runs, and then he gives up nothing after that.
Okay.
But I think the Padres have...
I think the Padres will figure out how to hit the lefties tonight.
I mean, that is the million-dollar question, but I'm going to say over.
Okay. Drew Thorpe.
Oh.
Everybody knows who he is.
Yep.
Traded away to the White Sox in the deal that brought Dylan Cease to San Diego.
I thought you'd already forgotten, Chris.
Yeah, I know. I try to forget those prospects as soon as I can. But Thorpe's a big name. He was also brought here from the Yankees. So from the Yankees to the Padres to tonight's major league debut for the Chicago White Sox. And Thorpe's over-under is 5.5 strikeouts for his debut game. I'm trying to see who he's playing here.
No one even cares about the White Sox right now.
No, they don't. But, I mean, this is a chance to care about the White Sox. They're in Seattle against the Mariners. Over under 5.5 strikeouts for Drew Thorpe. Scraby. Are you up? No, I'm up.
Yeah, go
I'm
for
going
it.
Under. There's no way he'll make it. He's going to come out of the game early. It's his major league debut. Is he going to come out there and just wipe him out?
I mean, the White Sox, I could see them just leaving him out there until
leaving
his arm
him in
falls
there.
Off. So,
wrecking his career in his very
yes.
first start.
But, I mean, I'm going to go over just
really?
Because
okay.
there has been so much hype about this guy. And true. And I don't know. I know you guys did Padres Pen Pals yesterday, and I don't know if this was asked, but did you guys get asked about whether or not Drew Thorpe would have debuted with the Padres by now?
We did actually get okay. asked that. And
well,
we both
I mean,
said
what
no.
did you think?
There's okay, no way he would have.
Yeah.
But the White Sox, I mean, it you know, speeds things up. Playing with such a bad franchise. All right, you're going
all right,
over.
So I'm gonna go over. Yes,
all right,
I'm
we'll keep
over.
An eye on Drew Thorpe tonight. That is our daily gambit for today. When we come back, Tony returns, and Major League Baseball players were asked a whole bunch of questions by The Athletic, a survey of Major League Baseball players, like who's the best. Who's the most overrated?
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a little juicier topic.
Yes,
so we'll
yes.
Get into some of that when we come back on Gwen and Chris. All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. This is Chris. Matt Scraby is home recuperating from a successful shoulder surgery yesterday and a successful face transformation as well.
I hate you.
That he underwent at the surgery
I'll put
center
it up on
today.
The screen just for that. There we go.
Check out the picture of Matt Scraby looking absolutely wonderful there after his surgery. That was after the surgery, yes, or before you went in?
It was after.
That picture.
It was
yeah,
after.
Just
like
after.
20 seconds or 20 minutes after.
20 so. Minutes after you woke up.
Yeah. I wish they wouldn't have given me my phone back.
Looking very, very sharp in that photo for sure. It is 3:37. Adam Klug is sitting in for Scraby in studio. Tony is going to join us back here in a moment as baseball's players were asked by The Athletic to participate in a survey. We'll get to the results in a second. Before that, though, a couple of quick baseball notes. Francisco Alvarez, Mets catcher. Finally back with the Metropolitans. He's been out for quite a while. I don't recall what he went down with, but it was a good month and a half ago or so.
Oh, it was something serious.
Yeah, he was gone for a while. And the Arizona Diamondbacks get some good news today. Shortstop Geraldo Perdomo returns. He has missed most of this season as well. On the other side, Hunter Renfro, former Padre, going to the injured list for the Royals. Javi Baez heads that way for Detroit. And the biggest injury of the day, certainly without question, the Philadelphia Phillies announcing today that catcher JT Realmuto is going to undergo knee surgery on his right knee. Sounds like an arthroscopic procedure, but it doesn't mean he's going to be back all that soon. Phillies are not giving a timetable for Realmuto's return. I mean, he's a pretty big cog in the middle of that lineup. Of course, the Phillies have been getting it done without Trey Turner. So, you know, no sign of Trey Turner returning either. But JT Realmuto is going to be out for some time. I think this is also an interesting note in the sense that it opens up a big opportunity for San Diegan and former USC catcher Garrett Stubbs. Gets a chance to play pretty much every day. I think the Phillies are bringing up somebody from the minor leagues, but this could be an opportunity for Stubbs to make a name for himself back there in Realmuto's spot. So, you know, one injury opens up an opportunity for another. We'll see if Stubbs can pull through in his chance at the Phillies, but no Realmuto for quite some time.
And that's kind of interesting because he is a catcher, so... You know, how is he going to catch with a bad knee?
Not anytime soon. Correct, Scraby.
Okay.
All right. We'll take a...
Adam's giving me the time.
Check traffic. Then it's time to get into the baseball. All right. So, indeed, the Athletic did have a players poll, Major League Baseball players poll. Thought it'd be interesting to go through some of these categories like most overrated player in Major League Baseball. This was actually a category that... According to The Athletic, a lot of the players did not want to respond to. But there's some other categories, and I think it would be kind of interesting to see where things lie. So, Scrab, you have the poll there from The Athletic, the players' poll. This is all players voting. You know, why don't you take us through a few of these?
All right, well, let's just start with the first one on the list, because I think everybody wants to know. Out of 102 votes, who is the best player in baseball? And should I just give you the choices and you guys guess, or do you just want me to tell you what the results are?
The 102 choices for best, or 102 votes.
For best top five players in baseball.
Yeah, did Mike Trout make the list this year?
He sure did. He was number five, 3.9%.
He made it this year?
Which tells you something. Which tells you something, because if his peers are voting him as one of the best players in baseball, yeah. It's telling me something.
It tells me that his peers look at the WAR statistic far too much. I don't know.
All right, I'll just go through it. Number
one, just give us a rundown.
Number one, Shohei Ohtani, which doesn't surprise anyone, I don't think. Number two, Ronald Acuna Jr. Number three, Mookie Betts. Number four, Aaron Judge. And then number five, Mike Trout.
Pretty good list. I don't have any major issues with it other than, obviously injuries have taken both Acuna and Trout out of the game this year. So that's part of that. Ohtani's got to be number one, but even the injury to him has kept him from being the two-way player that is
true.
Phenomenal. What do you think a player thinks by being ranked in this poll, Tony? Does it matter to them at all?
I think they enjoy being thought of by their peers in that way, especially considering that's the thing that I think most guys care about the most is
right.
The rest of the league. And the mere fact that all the players already know that Ohtani can't pitch this year and yet still voted him there lets you know how good that guy is. So, I would say for most guys, this is a bigger deal to know that at least the guys who actually participated in the vote feel that way.
I got to tell you, one person that I think is going to be a little bit in their feelings that they were left out of the top five, Scraby.
Who? Who?
Your guy, Juan Soto.
Do
you think that Juan Soto would think that he belongs in the top five? I don't know that he would, publicly say that, but I think Juan Soto, I mean, he's the one that's going to break the bank and be the first, other than Ohtani, $800 gazillion player.
It depends on what you're asking right now. It sounds like you're straddling the fence between you think that he cares and you think that he should be on it. which one is it?
I think that he cares. That's the one that's where I'm going with this.
That is something that, unfortunately, you can't prove. So,
no, I cannot.
he didn't even
so
get a vote.
So it's just conjecturing at this point by Mr. Elo.
He didn't get a vote?
They named the others that got a vote. It was Bryce Harper, Gunnar Henderson, Jose Ramirez, Adley Rutschman, Corey Seager, Zach Wheeler.
Interesting.
Might be a little envy there.
I think it's going to be in Juan Soto's feelings. Come on, Tony. You got a little agree with me there, maybe.
Listen. The dude is about to. I mean, at this point, is on his way to an MVP. I think that'll have the last laugh when it's all said and done.
Very well could. All right, what else you got, Scrape?
Another question was, who is the most overrated player in baseball? And I should also add that these players that voted are anonymous, so no one knows who voted for what. But 59 votes happened in this one, which Tony was telling us before we talked about this, that some players just might not want to take part in this one.
They don't trust the anonymous. Overrated.
You think it's going to get out sometimes.
Anonymous has a way of seeping out.
Yeah, baseball especially has a problem with anonymous things kind of leaking out,
right.
A la the steroid testing that happened back in the early 2000s.
Well, the top of the list is Jazz Chisholm Jr. He gets 20.3% of the vote. And then Anthony Rendon of the Angels, 10.2% of the vote. Carlos Correa of the Twins, 6.7%. The last of the top five, Tim Anderson, 5%. Jack Flaherty, 5%.
Mm.
All right, well.
Manny Machado, 3.3% on the bottom
what?
Of that list. Yes.
Can somebody do the math on that? Out of the 58 votes, how do you get 3.3%? Like how many?
Sounds like two votes to me.
There's a bunch of people that receive one vote, so maybe like one or two votes. Yeah
I'm thinking maybe two for Manny. I don't know that Manny Machado deserves any votes, man. I think he's legit. I don't know about Jazz Chisholm either. I mean, if he's, I guess somebody had to win this. I think Rendon's, is kind of a nod
choice
towards his injuries. Chris Bryant would be another guy that's had too many injuries and makes
he
a
got
lot of
one
money.
Vote.
Oh, he
got
did,
one
Chris
vote.
Bryant, yeah. But I don't know. Do you think Chisholm's overrated, Tony? I think he's a pretty good player, actually.
I like Jazz a lot. In terms of the amount of publicity he gets versus the numbers he's putting up, maybe
okay.
There might be an argument there. I think he will eventually get to the potential that I think a lot of people see in him. But, I mean, right now he's, 249, 9 homers, 31 RBIs. He's been on the cover of MLB The Show. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it from those terms, right? I mean, Toddy was on there. He's put up monster years before. Shohei Ohtani was on there. We've already talked about him. This year it was Vlad Jr. I think he's finished like second or third in an MVP before. So, I mean, based on that, I don't know that Jazz has gotten into any of those categories yet.
Yeah.
So I could see why there's an argument there.
I would say here's another name that popped into my head. I don't know if it's fair or not, but Hunter Green. And he started, you know, with the publicity before he ever got to the majors, because he was throwing over 100 miles an hour when he was at Notre Dame. And he is a guy that just hasn't ever really totally, you know, grasped all of his talent. So
thankfully playing in Cincinnati has buried him, because he's not on the list.
This is what, third year in the league?
Fourth.
Hunter?
Maybe. Is it fourth now?
Yeah, he's been around for a little bit now. He's getting up there. Three or four.
He's getting up there. interesting that Juan Soto got a vote on the most overrated.
On the overrated list.
Yes, yeah. Just one vote.
See, that's envy. It is envy.
That is.
That's that not is envy, totally. Tony. That's me getting a vote from The Athletic.
Oh, you stole a vote.
I stole a vote, yeah. They sent that to me.
All right, another thing that was asked of players in this player survey by The Athletic. Evaluate this statement. Anthony Rendon was right. The season is too long. 98 votes on this one. Yes, the season's too long. 31.6%. No, 68.3%.
So no one comfortably.
Yes, no one very comfortably. Which surprises me a little bit, because I'm not saying that every person in their life strives to work less and get paid the same or more.
First of all, again, it's 98 votes. We know there's a lot more ball players than that. But that's actually a big number, I would say, for getting some votes. That's a silly question. I think
it is.
Nobody really wants to take less, because if you're playing less games, that also means you're getting paid less. And I think there's a badge of honor to complete a full major league season. It's hard, man, to play 162, to play 150, to play, you know, I'll even say 140. Every day it's tough. And I remember finishing my first season as a minor leaguer and feeling like, man, that's pretty cool, man. 140, I think it's 42 games at the time, you know, playing in almost all of them, or having, you know, only reason I didn't play is because they, you know, said I had to have a rest day. I think it's pretty cool, and I think most guys feel that way too. Completing a big league season is something to be proud of.
And I also think the history of the game has to stay somewhere.
Yeah, for sure.
I know we've changed a lot of rules, but you know, the statistical history of the game is based mostly on a 162 game season. Now, they did play 154. But that changed over 60 years ago. So I think you stick with the 162, and it keeps the history intact, and I think most players would agree to that.
All right, a couple more on this player survey from The Athletic. What organizations have bad reputations among players? 79 votes in this one.
Can you tell us the ones that were surprising first? Because I think we kind of know what the top couple are.
The A's should be. This should be called the Oakland A's Award.
The A's won. Other ones that surprised me, I guess the Mets, just because there's so much money put into it.
What was the comment behind the Mets? Do you see that?
Ooh, I can go down and find that real quick.
Usually there's like a little quote that says something about the team.
Yes, the White Sox are number two.
Ooh, I can see that too.
They don't have it for the Mets.
That's fine. So White Sox were two. Who was three?
Yes, it goes A's, White Sox, Angels, Rockies, Mets, Pirates, Marlins, Rays, and then the Padres get in there with three votes.
Ooh. Okay, well,
what's that all about?
All right, let's just say this. Let's say the Padres.
Real quick, that also means that it's likely the people who voted have been there before.
Ah, true.
Or I guess it could mean that they've heard from other
people. They could be disgruntled former employees. That's possible. I mean, where would you even consider starting the Padres if you were going to put them on the not a great organization list? They got a great stadium. Their fans are fantastic. They've been spending money.
I wonder what players' criteria was winning.
Right. I don't know what that would.
I guess that would be the only thing that you could come up with, at least in my opinion.
I think so too. I mean, the other team that I was surprised to hear there was the Rays. The Rays are thought of as a great franchise that seems to be able to do things with mirrors.
See, I think...
Is that because of their stadium only?
I'm about to say, I think because of this particular question, the Athletics should have put in there what the criteria was to meet.
Oh, like, here, I have reasons on the Rays, at least.
All right, go ahead.
It's a player said, when it comes to time to pay players, they usually trade them. They get rid of you once you get expensive or close to it. And I think the most damning one here, they're not player friendly. So,
Well, I mean those, and that's what I'm saying. Those things all fall into the at least for those guys, that was a part of the reason they got on the list in the first place. So, I would be interested to know what the Padre reason was, but
yeah, they don't have it.
The A's, the White Sox, I believe you said the Rockies.
Oh yes,
the Rockies,
the Pirates,
Pirates.
The Mets
Angels.
Are surprising to me. Maybe it's just because their owner has a lot of money. But the first four you named, I felt like that's pretty spot on.
Chris will.
Hi, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. This is Chris. Matt Scraby is home recuperating from a successful shoulder surgery yesterday and a successful face transformation as well.
I hate you.
That he underwent at the surgery center today.
Just for that. There we go.
Check out the picture of Matt Scraby looking absolutely wonderful there after his surgery. That was after the surgery, yes, or before you went in?
It was after.
That picture.
It was after.
Just
like
after.
20 seconds or 20 minutes after.
20 minutes after you woke up.
Yeah. I wish they wouldn't have given me my phone back.
Looking very, very sharp in that photo for sure. It is 3:37. Adam Klug is sitting in for Scraby in studio. Tony is going to join us back here in a moment as baseball's players were asked by The Athletic to participate in a survey. We'll get to the results in a second. Before that, though, a couple of quick baseball notes. Francisco Alvarez, Mets catcher. Finally back with the Metropolitans. He's been out for quite a while. I don't recall what he went down with, but it was a good month and a half ago or so.
Oh, it was something serious.
Yeah, he was gone for a while. And the Arizona Diamondbacks get some good news today. Shortstop Geraldo Perdomo returns. He has missed most of this season as well. On the other side, Hunter Renfro, former Padre, going to the injured list for the Royals. Javi Baez heads that way for Detroit. And the biggest injury of the day, certainly without question, the Philadelphia Phillies announcing today that catcher JT Realmuto is going to undergo knee surgery on his right knee. Sounds like an arthroscopic procedure, but it doesn't mean he's going to be back all that soon. Phillies are not giving a timetable for Realmuto's return. I mean, he's a pretty big cog in the middle of that lineup. Of course, the Phillies have been getting it done without Trey Turner. So, no sign of Trey Turner returning either. But JT Realmuto is going to be out for some time. I think this is also an interesting note in the sense that it opens up a big opportunity for San Diegan and former USC catcher Garrett Stubbs. Gets a chance to play pretty much every day. I think the Phillies are bringing up somebody from the minor leagues, but this could be an opportunity for Stubbs to make a name for himself back there in Realmuto's spot. So, one injury opens up an opportunity for another. We'll see if Stubbs can pull through in his chance at the Phillies, but no Realmuto for quite some time.
All right. And that's kind of interesting because he is a catcher, so... how is he going to catch with a bad knee?
Not anytime soon. Correct, Scraby.
Okay.
All right. We'll take a...
Adam's giving me the time.
Check traffic, then it's time to get into the baseball. All right, so indeed, the Athletic did have a players poll, Major League Baseball players poll. Thought it'd be interesting to go through some of these categories like most overrated player in Major League Baseball. This was actually a category that... According to The Athletic, a lot of the players did not want to respond to. But there's some other categories, and I think it would be kind of interesting to see where things lie. So, Scraby, you have the poll there from The Athletic, the players' poll. This is all players voting. Why don't you take us through a few of these?
All right, well, let's just start with the first one on the list, because I think everybody wants to know. Out of 102 votes, who is the best player in baseball? And should I just give you the choices and you guys guess, or do you just want me to tell you what the results are?
The 102 choices for best, or 102 votes.
For best top five players in baseball.
Yeah, did Mike Trout make the list this year?
He sure did. He was number five, 3.9%.
He made it this year?
Which tells you something. Which tells you something, because if his peers are voting him as one of the best players in baseball, yeah. It's telling me something.
It tells me that his peers look at the WAR statistic far too much. I don't know. Anyway,
all right, I'll just go through it.
Number one, give us a rundown.
Number one, Shohei Ohtani, which doesn't surprise anyone, I don't think. Number two, Ronald Acuna Jr. Number three, Mookie Betts. Number four, Aaron Judge, and then number five, Mike Trout.
Pretty good list. I don't have any major issues with it other than, obviously injuries have taken both Acuna and Trout out of the game this year. So that's part of that. Otani's got to be number one, but even the injury to him has kept him from being the two-way player that is
true.
Phenomenal. What do you think a player thinks by being ranked in this poll, Tony? Does it matter to them at all?
I think they enjoy being thought of by their peers in that way, especially – considering that's the thing that I think most guys care about the most is
right.
The rest of the league. And the mere fact that all the players already know that Ohtani can't pitch this year and yet still voted him there lets you know how good that guy is. So, I would say for most guys, this is a bigger deal to know that at least the guys who actually participated in the vote feel that way.
I got to tell you, one person that I think is going to be a little bit in their feelings that they were left out of the top five, Scraby.
Who?
Your guy, Juan Soto.
Oh,
do you think that
you
Juan Soto would think that he belongs in the top five? I don't know that he would, publicly say that, but I think Juan Soto. I mean, he's the one that's going to break the bank and be the first, Well, other than Ohtani, $800 gazillion player.
It depends on what you're asking right now. It sounds like you're straddling the fence between you think that he cares and you think that he should be on it. which one is it?
I think that he cares. That's where I'm going with this.
That is something that, unfortunately, you can't prove. So,
no, I cannot.
he didn't even
so
get a vote.
So it's just conjecturing at this point by Mr. Elo.
He didn't get a vote?
They named the others that got a vote. It was Bryce Harper, Gunnar Henderson, Jose Ramirez, Adley Rutschman, Corey Seager, Zach Wheeler.
Interesting. Yeah,
might be a little envy there.
I think it's going to be in Juan Soto's feelings. Come on, Tony. You got a little agree with me there, maybe.
Nah, I mean, listen. The dude is about to. I mean, at this point, is on his way to an MVP. I think that'll have the last laugh when it's all said and done.
Very well could. All right, what else you got, Scrape?
Another question was, who is the most overrated player in baseball? And I should also add that these players that voted are anonymous, so no one knows who voted for what. But 59 votes happened in this one, which Tony was telling us before we talked about this, that some players just might not want to take part in this one.
They don't trust the anonymous.
You think it's going to get out sometimes.
Anonymous has a way of seeping out.
Yeah, baseball especially has a problem with anonymous things kind of leaking out,
right.
A la the steroid testing that happened back in the early 2000s.
Well, the top of the list is Jazz Chisholm Jr. He gets 20.3% of the vote. And then Anthony Rendon of the Angels, 10.2% of the vote. Carlos Correa of the Twins, 6.7%. The last of the top five, Tim Anderson, 5%. Jack Flaherty, 5%.
Mm.
All right, well.
Manny Machado, 3.3% on the bottom of that list. Yes.
Can somebody do the math on that? Out of the 58 votes, how do you get 3.3%? Like, how many?
Sounds like two votes to me.
There's a bunch of people that receive one vote, so maybe like one or two votes. Yeah
I'm thinking maybe two for Manny. I don't know that Manny Machado deserves any votes, man. I think he's legit. I don't know about Jazz Chisholm either. I mean, if he's, I guess somebody had to win this. I think Rendon's, is kind of a nod
choice
towards his injuries. Chris Bryant would be another guy that's had too many injuries and makes
he
a lot of
one
money.
Vote.
Oh, he
got
did,
one
Chris
vote.
Bryant,
yeah.
But I don't know. Do you think Chisholm's overrated, Tony? I think he's a pretty good player, actually.
This is I like Jazz a lot. In terms of the amount of publicity he gets versus the numbers he's putting up, maybe okay. there might be an argument there. I think he will eventually get to the potential that I think a lot of people see in him. But, I mean, right now he's, 249, 9 homers, 31 RBIs. He's been on the cover of MLB The Show.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about it from those terms, right, I mean, Toddy was on there. He's put up monster years before. Shohei Ohtani was on there. We've already talked about him. This year it was Vlad Jr. Mm-hmm. I think he's finished like second or third in an MVP before. So, I mean, based on that, I don't know that Jazz has gotten into any of those categories yet.
Yeah.
So I could see why there's an argument there.
I would say here's another name that popped into my head. I don't know if it's fair or not, but Hunter Green. And he started, with the publicity before he ever got to the majors, because he was throwing over 100 miles an hour when he was at Notre Dame. And he is a guy that just hasn't ever really totally, grasped all of his talent. So
thankfully playing in Cincinnati has buried him, because he's not on the list.
This is what, third year in the league?
Fourth.
Hunter?
Is it fourth now?
Yeah, he's been around for a little bit now. He's getting up there. Three or four.
He's getting up there. interesting that Juan Soto got a vote on the most overrated.
On the overrated list.
Yes, yeah. Just one vote.
See, that's envy. It's envy.
That is.
That's not envy, Tony. That's me getting a vote from The Athletic.
Oh, you stole a vote.
I stole a vote, yeah. They sent that to me.
All right, another thing that was asked of players in this player survey by The Athletic. Evaluate this statement. Anthony Rendon was right. The season is too long. 98 votes on this one. Yes, the season's too long. 31.6%. No, 68.3%.
So one comfortably.
Yes, no one very comfortably. Which surprises me a little bit, because I'm not saying that every person in their life strives to work less and get paid the same or more.
First of all, again, it's 98 votes. We know there's a lot more ball players than that. But that's actually a big number, I would say, for getting some votes. That's a silly question. I think
it is.
Nobody really wants to take less, because if you're playing less games, that also means you're getting paid less. And I think there's a badge of honor to complete a full major league season. It's hard, man, to play 162, to play 150, to play, I'll even say 140. Every day it's tough. And I remember finishing my first season as a minor leaguer and feeling like, man, that's pretty cool, man. 140, I think it's 42 games at the time, playing in almost all of them, or having, only reason I didn't play is because they, said it, I had to have a rest day. I think it's pretty cool, and I think most guys feel that way too. Completing a big league season is something to be proud of.
And I also think the history of the game has to stay somewhere.
Yeah, for sure.
I know we've changed a lot of rules, but the statistical history of the game is based mostly on a 162 game season. Now, they did play 154, but that changed over 60 years ago. So I think you stick with the 162, and it keeps the history intact, and I think most players would agree to that.
All right, a couple more on this player survey from The Athletic. What organizations have bad reputations among players? 79 votes in this one.
Can you tell us the ones that were surprising first? Because I think we kind of know what the top couple are.
The A's should be. This should be called the Oakland A's Award.
The A's won. Other ones that surprised me, I guess the Mets, just because there's so much money put into it.
What was the comment behind the Mets? Do you see that?
Ooh, I can go down and find that real quick.
Usually there's like a little quote that says something about the team.
Yes, the White Sox are number two.
Ooh, I can see that too.
They don't have it for the Mets.
That's fine. So White Sox were two. Who was three?
Yes, it goes A's, White Sox, Angels, Rockies, Mets, Pirates, Marlins, Rays. And then the Padres get in there with three votes.
Ooh. Okay, well,
what's that all about?
All right, let's just say this. Let's say the Padres.
Real quick, that also means that it's likely the people who
you
wrote
can
it
kind of figure it out
have been there before.
Ah, true.
Or I guess it could mean that they've heard from other
people. They could be disgruntled former employees. That's possible. I mean, where would you even consider starting the Padres if you were going to put them on the not a great organization list? They got a great stadium. Their fans are fantastic. They've been spending money.
I wonder what players' criteria was winning.
Right. I don't know what that would.
I guess that would be the only thing that you could come up with, at least in my opinion.
I think so too. I mean, the other team that I was surprised to hear there was the Rays. The Rays are thought of as a great franchise that seems to be able to do things with mirrors.
See, I think...
Is that because of their stadium only?
I was about to say, I think because of this particular question, the Athletics should have put in there what the criteria was to meet.
I have reasons on the Rays, at least.
All right, go ahead.
It's a player said, when it comes to time to pay players, they usually trade them. They get rid of you once you get expensive or close to it. And I think the most damning one here, they're not player friendly. So,
Well, I mean those, and that's what I'm saying. Those things all fall into the at least for those guys, that was a part of the reason they got on the list in the first place. So, I would be interested to know what the Padre reason was, but
yeah, they don't have it.
The A's, the White Sox, I believe you said the Rockies.
Oh yes,
the Rockies,
the Pirates,
Pirates.
The Mets
Angels.
Are surprising to me. Maybe it's just because their owner has a lot of money. But the first four you named, I felt like that's pretty spot on.
Chris will love this. We have one more, but Chris will love this about the Rockies. I think it's better now, but when I was there, it was horse bleep.
this person be better now.
Signed Jerks and Profar.
Oh, that's a good one. The second one said, heard from another player that it's like going back to the Stone Age. So you don't want to do that.
That makes a lot of sense.
All right, final one, and it's kind of interesting. Should Major League Baseball shut down midseason so players can participate in the 2028 Summer Olympics in L.A.? 90 votes on this one. Yes, they should shut down from players. Got 46.6%. No, 53.3%. Now, I got to know how many of these players are actually going to be on the Olympic team.
How many votes?
Shut down the season. 90. Because if you shut down the season, doesn't that mean those other players don't get paid while those guys are playing in the Olympics?
Indeed. Well... I would think so.
We're almost there, guys.
I would think so. Here's the thing.
Stand and salute the Olympic flag.
Major League Baseball decided however many years ago that they were going to create their own Olympic game, basically. And that's what the World Baseball Classic is.
Right.
And I think because of that, I just don't see it happening anytime soon, if ever.
I would not vote for it. I think the season needs to go uninterrupted. I mean, if you're going to take a 3-week break in a hockey season, it doesn't affect me too much. But baseball is a day after day after day after day exercise. The All-Star break is long enough for me. So I'm voting no on that one, Scrape.
It's long enough for me.
I got to be able to watch Quick Pitch every night before I go to bed. Come on. Imperative.
Oh, man, this off season. Well, you have football to fill your off season. So
that's
you're not,
right.
So,
I got Scott Hansen, man. That makes
Scott
up for
Hansen.
It. Makes
yes.
up for
All
it.
All right, that's it for the Athletic Player Survey. Chris, take us out.
All right, very good, Scraby. Well done. We'll take a quick timeout here, and then I believe we've got a little Chris versus the fans. Of course, I know
that's
we
right.
do. It always comes up at 4 o'clock. Call in at 833-288-0973.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.